Campus FM je prezenta
Platea. Program li l-anama esponenti ewlenin fit-teatru.
Li jitkellmu Malino Farrugia.
Il-lum platea il-qa esponent ieħor fit-teatru kien darba karattru li ilu jaħdem ħafna karattri biex nsejħulhom hekk fil-lat artistiku teatrali f'Malta. Qegħdin nitkellmu dwar John Rosser li jiena personali niftakru jinterpreta karattri veru varji, veru sbieħ. B'mod l-iktar intelligenti, barra wkoll produzzjonijiet li kienu mill-isbaħ. John, Platea welcomes you. John, you've been living in Malta now for quite some time, haven't you?
Nearly 42 years.
Nearly 42 years, and you had been interested in theatre since you were a young man, obviously. First of all, why did you come to Malta?
Well, originally I came on a 3-year contract. Uh-huh. And working in the agribusiness.
So, yeah.
And as it happens, after a couple of years, I met my wife.
Yeah.
Who was living out here at the time, and I sort of stayed.
Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, found time to do theatre.
Well, afterwards, because my wife was involved in the theatre in the West End in London.
Uh-huh.
And on tour, and she was the one who really dragged me into it, if you like.
So you weren't interested in theatre, sir?
Yes, I was. I was always interested in theatre, but I had given it up for a couple of years while I was abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do anything other than watch theatre.
Uh-huh.
until I met my wife.
I see. So thanks to Nikki, John Rosser gave us some beautiful productions. So, what were the first production you were involved in?
Well, the first production was a play directed for the MADC by George Rossiter called,
yeah,
The Man Who Came to Dinner, which is going back, it was 1972, I think it was.
Probably, yes.
And I believe it was when the British services had gone back temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me to design the set, which I did, and I played a cough and a spit in the play as well, and that, mm-hmm, was the very first one. Really.
I see. And then you carried on. You did some Shakespeare, no?
I did. The first Shakespeare I did was for Godwin Sherry, was directing. Directed the Taming of the Shrew. That was in the early 70s. I'm not quite sure when that was. And I, again, had a cough and a spit. Two coughs and two spits in that. And Colin Easton, who was a very good friend of mine, was also in it. And
uh-huh,
he had the same sort of effect. We played sort of two-line huntsman right at the beginning in the Christopher Fry scene, and then we were away for 2 hours,
uh-huh,
usually down the Melita getting pissed.
And, that's typical John, yes.
And then we returned to do another cough and a spit. I played a servant, and I think he played a tailor or something.
Yes.
A few lines each, and that was the first Shakespeare I ever did.
And this was John Rosser and Colin Easton doing bit parts. Incredible. Then you started doing other roles. Can you expound a little bit more?
Well, I did a couple of longer roles, both with the MADC and then when it was formed with the Arturi.
Yes. Now we're talking, I was about 78 Arturi.
76,
no?
77, no,
yes,
I'm not quite
so
sure when,
yes,
it was something like that, yes.
Yes, and with Arturi?
With Arturi, the first thing I did was a Drop Your Knickers farce, which was a thing called Move Over Mrs. Markham.
Yes.
Where I had a very small part. It was Charles Thicke and Joe Itzo's play, really.
Uh-huh.
And Antoinette Solo was in it, Nanette Brimmer was in it,
uh-huh,
and I had the...
Who was directing?
Victor Solo was directing.
Uh-huh.
And that was the very first thing I did for Arturi.
Anything of other interest during these productions?
Well, that one in particular, I, mm-hmm, always remember. I mean, dear old Charles Tate, he was a lovely man, and,
mm-hmm,
he had difficulty remembering his lines, if he even learned them. And
He used to try,
oh yes. And one evening, I remember, we were on stage, he and I were supposed to be observing Antoinette changing in the next room. And you can see the level of the play. Anyway, we were peering through the keyhole at this going on.
Yes.
And Antoinette didn't come on.
Oh.
When she should have done. And apparently her wrong costume was being prepared. And so she was panicking, the dressing lady was panicking. And Charles and I just had to ad lib for about, seemed like 4 hours, but it was probably only 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I realized how brilliant Charles was at ad libbing. I mean, he just took over, and all I had to say was, really? Is that so? Good heavens. and he just did it, and he was screamingly funny, and it looked as though it was part of the whole production. And, oh, absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, that's Charles Dick. Then, yes, I remember, yes, you started with a farce, with Arturi, but you still did some work with Medici at the same time,
I did some bits and pieces with Medici as well, yes, we did.
But then I remember you did a very good interpretation with Arturi as well in Cat on a Hot Roof, am I right?
Oh, yes, I sort of got stuck in the Tennessee Williams backwater. I did, I think, three or four.
I think you did four.
Tennessee Williams.
Which word?
Well, the very, very first one was A Streetcar Named Desire.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that was directed by Joe Frugieri.
Yes. Again with Godwin Sherry, no?
Godwin Sherry was Carmen. Carmen played Blanche Dubois. She was brilliant, actually. I played Mitch, who was the slightly retarded boyfriend. That was typecasting.
That's not true at all. Remember, these interviews are going to be kept for historical reasons. So, John, please be careful, because you're going to go down in Maltese theatrical history saying that about yourself.
Retarded, yeah.
What's
the name?
Who else?
Teresa Frugieri, yes, was in it. She played Stella. She was very good as well. And, yes, that was the first one. Then we did Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, with Colin Easton playing Big Daddy. Antoinette played Maggie. I was Brick. Sort of hobbled around on a
Carmen, Big Mama?
Carmen played Big Mama, yes. Godwin Sherry was in it again. He had the small part of Gooper, I think it was.
Yes, in that and one. Even Madeleine Montalto.
Was she?
Yes, Madeleine was the sister-in-law.
Oh, the sister-in-law. Oh, yes, that's quite right. Yes, she was. Yes, that's right. That one. Those were the two we did at the Phoenicia. Then we moved to, the Arturi, rather, moved to the Depores Hall in Slema.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Orpheus Descending.
Yes.
And
yes,
that was a very good production. That was by Albert Marshall.
Albert Marshall, yes.
Who also produced, directed... Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. He also did that. Very, very good. Very nice chap to work for, actually. Mm-hmm. But, we did Orpheus Descending, and the final one I did was in at the Manuel, actually, which was Sweet Bird of Youth, again with Carmen, of course.
Yes. That's the Tennessee Williams section, let's call it. But then you did some beautiful Shakespeare's. Can you recount about your experience with Shakespeare?
Yes.
Obviously, basically all of them were, I think, at the San Antonio.
They were all at San Antonio, yes. First one I did, I think it was 77. Mm-hmm. Godwin Sherry was directing again, and he directed Romeo and Juliet.
Mm.
And I played Mercutio in that.
Mercutio, yes.
And originally, he'd arranged for Mercutio to die just after the interval. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm not having that, because I'm not hanging around all bloody day. I said, you can kill me off before the interval, please, because I'll then go to the bar for the rest of the day. And so he very obligingly did that. And I remember one evening we were playing. It was a full house. It was very good houses. They were very good houses. And I'd finished my bit, and I was sort of wandering down through the back to go to the bar. And there was an old... looked like an old British resident wandering towards the bar as well. Uh-huh. And he looked at me and he said, you too? He said, God, I can't stand any more of that.
Who was playing what in that production?
Well,
I remember, I've seen it. I know it was a very good production.
John Crabtree played Romeo. He was very, very good, of course. Obviously, John Crabtree worked for BFBS, actually, the British Forces Broadcasting Service. Ninette McAuliffe played Juliet. She was also excellent. And I think Madeline. Oh no, B. Dennis played Lady Capulet. Mm-hmm. B. Dennis played Lady Capulet, and Paul Schwerer played Capulet. Of the others, let me see. I think Hubert Polisevich was Friar Lawrence.
Yes,
it was a good cast. You know, yeah, very good cast.
Quite interesting. What are the Shakespeare's?
We did well. The one you directed, which was Othello, I remember very well.
Oh, that's my
Yes. Mm-hmm. Again, Godwin Sherry was Othello, and I played Iago in that. Madeline played Emilia. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Ninette McAuliffe, wasn't it? Played Desdemona.
Yes, that was Ninette McAuliffe.
Yes, that was a different. Again, a very nice cast. Very good cast.
Yeah. Any stories with your Shakespearean experience? Anything that's
thousands.
One can mention.
I can remember one evening. I also played the Welsh parson in The Merry Wives of Windsor. Mm-hmm. And which was just a little bit more than a cough and a spit. It wasn't a very big role. Mm-hmm. And one evening, there was a character in the audience mm-hmm. who was obviously drunk. Mm-hmm. And he was an Englishman, and he kept commenting.
Oh.
And there was one part in the play where I had to come on and twiddle my thumbs, literally twiddle my thumbs, mm-hmm. and until something happened. I can't remember what it was now. And then I went into my speech. Mm-hmm. And on this particular evening, it was perfectly normal. I was twiddling my thumbs quietly, and all of a sudden, this drunk shouted out, "He's forgot his lines!" very loudly.
Oh!
It's been quite funny. We had a character in there who was in the play, who was slightly inebriated every evening, and this was, I won't say his name.
We cannot mention the person. I know the person as well.
He was an elderly gentleman.
That's not fair.
I remember one evening, he had an entrance, which he just never made.
Yes, I've seen that.
And dear old Georgia Baylor was played, I think, Slender in mm-hmm. this particular play. And George was sort of on the set, and he had a scene with this character. Mm-hmm. Colin Easton, who played, I think, Master Page, and I were on the set as well. And we weren't really in this scene, so we couldn't really help George out when this guy didn't come on.
Mm.
So George sort of looked up and down and then said, in pure Shakespearean English, said, "Right, well, I'm off then." And exited. End the scene.
Rewrote Shakespeare.
Rewrote it in a second, yes.
Lovely stories. You remember the Duorans?
Kay and Ella, yes, very well.
Yes.
Very well.
What can you tell us? Well, obviously, the Duorans have been mentioned by various
people, but
it would be interesting to hear your point of view. Your reaction towards those two lovely characters?
Well, my memory of them was coloured really by my wife, Nikki, because she knew Kay. Mm-hmm. She was, I think, Nikki, before I came to Malta, did book, was ASM on, I think, Three Sisters. Mm-hmm. And Kay was, I believe, played the nurse or something in that.
Yes.
And I then remember that my first memory of Kay was of going to her Christmas Eve parties.
Yes.
She had one every Christmas Eve up in Imdina, where they lived, where she and Ella lived. And I can remember you went up this staircase to the top of the stairs, and you were presented to Kay and Ella mm-hmm. and given a drink. Mm-hmm. And the drink could have blown most people's heads off. It was so strong.
Mm.
And I always remember Ella used to sit at the top of the stairs. By then she was blind.
Mm-hmm.
And used to go up and introduce yourself. "Hello, Ella. How are you?" And Nikki went up and said, "Hello, Ella. And this is Nikki." And she said, "Yes, dear, I know you." And I went up and I said, "And I'm Nikki's husband. I'm John." "But I don't know you, do I?" I said, "No. I've seen Nikki, but I haven't seen you, and I won't see you now."
Oh.
And they were great characters, and Kay was wonderful. She'd turn up for rehearsals with a thermos flask full of gin in it.
Uh-huh.
And countless cigarettes. She'd smoke one off the other and just carry on. I mean, she was great. They were great characters.
Yes, and John Rossiter as well.
George Rossiter.
You worked with George Rossiter.
I've worked with him on the very first play, yes.
Now, yes, we've covered basically the 70s, 80s, but then a new generation of theatre people started.
Indeed they did, yes.
And
yes.
I'm referring to a person who is a dear friend of ours, obviously, Anthony Bezzina, who will be interviewed as well here. And you've done some work with Anthony as well. Would you mention...
Yes, I have. I've done quite a bit of work with Tony. Mm-hmm. I've directed for him and I've been in plays. I was in, when they did Sweet Bird of Youth, that was, Tony directed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he directed me in the only musical I ever appeared in and will ever appear in.
What was that?
It was Oliver.
Yes.
I mean, I cannot sing. I have no singing voice at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tony knew this.
Mm-hmm.
And he cast me as Sykes in mm-hmm. that and assured me that he didn't have a song. Well, of course, he did have a bloody song. And, so I had to talk the song because there was no way I was going to sing it.
Uh-huh.
And I remember poor old Brian Chafai was the musical director.
Mm.
And I mean, I just used to look at him and go for it. I mean, I had no idea. I'm practically tone deaf anyway. So I just had to go for the words when I knew them. And
the music was written for you.
Well, I don't think the music actually kept up at all, or I didn't keep up with the music. It was the poor man had to sort of struggle along, but anyway, we managed somehow.
Yes. What other productions can you work on?
Well, we did one for the MADC, which was The Royal Hunt of the Sun, which was quite a spectacular production, as I recall.
Yes.
But I wanted to play the part of Pizarro in that very much, mm-hmm. because that was, I felt, the most interesting part.
Mm-hmm.
But Harry Borge played that very well, mm-hmm. much better than I would have played it. And I played Atahualpa, who was the Inca king, I suppose.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do, and I didn't really understand it, and I...
I think you should explain your entrance, which was the longest entrance ever, I think, when you had to stand up there for at least a quarter of an hour.
About 25 minutes.
25 minutes.
Saying absolutely nothing.
Saying nothing, but dominating the stage completely.
Was it?
And everybody, you were there as a statue dominating the stage, which was very, 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 very well done. I remember as well you did interpret a very interesting role in The Visit.
Oh, The Visit, yes. I directed The Visit.
You directed The Visit?
I directed The Visit, yes.
Yes.
That was,
can you tell us something more about The Visit?
That's
interesting. You had Madeleine in it.
Madeleine played, yes, she played the lead in that, and she was very, very good. This woman who comes back to this village in Switzerland,
mm-hmm.
and she's, when she returns after many years, she's a very wealthy woman. And basically, she's wreaking revenge on all the people that tried to screw her when she was there before.
Mm-hmm.
Not physically screw her, I mean, you know, screw her financially, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And that had an excellent cast as well. I mean, people like Godwin Sherry was in it, Hubert Polisevich, Emmanuel Kauke was excellent in that. It was a very interesting play, a very strange play in many ways, but interesting.
Now I have to... guide you to one interpretation that I remember very well, and that was Salieri in Amadeus that you did for Tony.
Yes.
It was a production, well, it's your story, not mine. It was a lavish production, beautiful production, but can you tell us something more?
Well, yes, I mean, it really was. I mean, the costumes were fantastic, and Harry Borge did the set, which was very effective and a very nice set. Ernest Camilleri designed the costumes, which were wonderful. Yes, I played Salieri, and Chris Dingley played Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very good.
Very good. Yeah.
Very good in that. And yes, it was quite an interesting play. But I had the misfortune, if you like, to lose my voice on dress rehearsal
day. Yes, yes.
I woke up without any voice at all.
Yes.
And, you know, I just couldn't make the dress rehearsal, which, you know, which was totally unprofessional, and but there's no point in being there. Every time I opened my mouth, nothing came out.
Mm.
And on the morning of the first performance, we had three performances, and then we had a week's gap and another three performances
mm-hmm.
The following weekend. Tony, in fact, took me to an ENT specialist
mm-hmm.
who diagnosed... laryngitis, which I think I could have told him, but anyway. he said, you've got laryngitis. And he gave me a shot of steroid or whatever it was. And I didn't start growing boobs, but I managed... I did manage to do the performance, and it was quite interesting because right at the very end, he has one last speech at the end when he cuts his throat and cuts his own throat. And I could feel the voice going at that stage, and I just sort of hung on for the final bit. But yeah, we did it. We managed to do it. And the next night, same thing happened, no voice at all. And I had to tell Tony, I don't think I can do it. You know, I think you're going to have to get somebody in costume with the book. And he said, well, look, he sent, I think it was Peanuts, Chris Mifsud, sent him off to the chemist to get some, to get a shot of steroid. They then, fortunately, his brother, who was a, Tony's brother, who was a doctor, was in the audience that night, and he came back to the dressing room, gave me another shot of steroid. Tony held the curtain by half an hour, having to explain to the audience
which why.
And he said, one of the casts has a health problem that will be okay. And I remember I started the play in a wheelchair as the old Salieri, and I had to turn around and do 3.5 pages of monologue, basically. And I had no idea when I opened my mouth whether anything was going to come out at all. It was a really scary moment.
Actually, it was scary. It was beautiful. Because although you were straining your voice, but the effect of your, the way you were speaking the lines, saying the lines with this hushed voice, it was I knew that you had a problem, but it sounded very effective as an interpretation.
Maybe I should do it every time.
Can we hear? Would you?
Well, I'll do a little
be
bit
so
from,
kind
from
of
me,
more, yeah.
Stop me when you like. This is the very first speech that Salieri gives when he's an old man.
So let's hear John Rosser interpreting Salieri in Amadeus.
I was born in 1750. When no man of sophistication would have dreamed of talking about love of country or native earth. We were men of Europe, and that was enough. My parents were provincial subjects of the Austrian Empire, and perfectly happy to be so. A Lombardy merchant and his Lombardy wife, their notion of place was the tiny town of Legnago, which I could not wait to leave. Their notion of God was a superior Habsburg emperor, inhabiting a heaven only slightly further off than Vienna. All they required of him was to protect commerce and keep them forever unnoticed, preserved in mediocrity. My own requirements were very different. I wanted fame, not to deceive you. I wanted to blaze like a comet across the firmament of Europe, yet only in one special way. Music. Absolute music. A note of music is either right or wrong. Not even time can alter that. Music is God's art. Already when I was 10, a spray of sounded notes would make me dizzy almost to falling. By 12, I was humming my arias and anthems to the Lord. My one desire was to join all the composers who had celebrated his glory through the long Italian past. Every Sunday, I saw him in church, painted on the flaking wall. Oh, I don't mean Christ. The Christs of Lombardy are simpering sillies with lambkins on their sleeves. No, I mean an old candle-smoked god in a mulberry robe, staring at the world with dealer's eyes. Tradesmen had put him up there. Those eyes made bargains, real and irreversible. You give me so, I'll give you so. No more. No less. The night before I left Legnano forever, I went to see him and made a bargain with him myself. I was a sober 16, filled with a desperate sense of right. I knelt before the god of bargains and I prayed through the mouldering plaster with all my soul. Signore, let me be a composer. Grant me sufficient fame to enjoy it. In return, I will live with virtue. I will strive to better the lot of my fellows. And I will honor you with much music all the days of my life. As I said, amen, I saw his eyes flare. Bene, go forth, Antonio. Serve me and mankind, and you will be blessed. Grazie, I call back. I am your servant for life. The very next day, a family friend suddenly appeared out of the blue, took me off to Vienna and paid for me to study music. Shortly afterwards, I met the Emperor, who favored me and was to advance my career beyond all expectations. Clearly, my bargain had been accepted. The same year I left Italy, a young prodigy was touring Europe, a miraculous virtuoso aged 10 years, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Thank you, John Rosso, for that brilliant, beautiful rendering of Salieri in his first big, beautiful speech. John, and we've got a couple of minutes to round up our interview. Theatre. What does theatre do for you? And
Theatre, yes. I love going to the theatre. I think it's the atmosphere of the theatre. Mm-hmm. When my wife and I go abroad, if we go to the UK, we always go and see something.
Sure.
If it's not in the West End, we go and see something somewhere. For me, it is a bit of an escape, but it's an experience. It's an all-round experience, rather more than cinema is.
Mm-hmm.
I love cinema, but theatre is live.
Mm-hmm.
Things can happen which aren't supposed to happen, and sometimes that's almost better than what is supposed to happen. But that's why I go to the theatre. I just love the atmosphere. I love the everything about it, really.
Thank you very much, John, for the time you have given us, for recounting these stories. And thank you for your rendering of the piece about Salieri. John Rosso, an exponent of art theatre who has done lots of productions, and all of us are so grateful to him for being such an important, doing such important productions in art theatre. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Lino.
Conto ed intesim au. Platea. Program li la anima esponente eulenin fi teatru.
Litzkelmu Malino Farrugia.
Tecnici Carmenu Grec u Kenneth Mitzi.